Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, text 28 to 29. Kitak pesha krita ruda kudyayam tam anusmaran samramba bhaya yogena vindate tat svarupatam evam krishne bhagavati maya manuja ishvare varena puta patmanas tam apur anu chintaya kita the grass worm Peshaskrita by a bee, Ruda confined, Kudyayam in a hole in a wall, Tam that bee, Anusmaran thinking of, Samramba Vaya Yogena. Through intense fear and enmity, Vindate attains tat of that be Svarupatam, the same form, Evam, thus, Krishne, in Krishna, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Maya Manuja, who appeared by his own energy in his eternal human-like form. Ishvare, the Supreme. Vairena, by enmity. Puta Patmana, those purified of sins. Tam, him. Apu attained anuchintaya by thinking of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or another think of Krishna who is Satchitananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins, whether thinking of him as their worshipful Lord or an enemy, because if constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.10, the Lord says, Vita Raghavaya Krodham Manmayamam Upashitya Ahabhagyana tapasa puta madvabham ahagata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. There are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna, as a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya, becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and also becomes purified. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Pichet sudaracharo bhajante mama nanyabhak sadoreva samantavyak Samyak Vyavyastito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he engages in devotional service, he is considered saintly because he is properly situated. A devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy, Sudarachara, always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. The example given here concerns the grass worm that becomes bee-like because of constantly thinking of the bee that forces it to enter a hole. By always thinking of the bee in fear, the grass worm starts to become a bee. This is a practical example. Lord Krishna appears within this material world for two purposes. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chidiskritam dushkritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. The sadhus and devotees certainly think of the Lord always. But diskritis, dushkritis, the demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, also think of Krishna in terms of killing him. By thinking of Krishna, both the demons and devotees attain liberation from the clutches of material maya. This verse uses the word maya, manuje. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in his original spiritual potency, sambhavam yatma maya, he is not forced to accept the form made by material nature. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the controller of maya. He is not controlled by maya. When a demon continuously thinks of Krishna because of enmity toward him, he is certainly freed from the sinful reactions of his life. To think of Krishna in any way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to him, is beneficial for everyone. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanaha. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna will make one pure, and then he will become a devotee. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to introduce the system of somehow or another letting everyone hear the holy name of Krishna and take Krishna prasadam. Thus one will gradually become a devotee and his life will be successful. So just the translation again. A grass worm confined to a hole, in a hole of a wall, by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned soul somehow or another think of Krishna, who is Satchitananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins. Whether thinking of him as their worshipful Lord or an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Srila Prabhupada's purports are generally following the mood of the particular speaker. Therefore, sometimes it appears that there is some contradiction in the philosophy, but actually the philosophy also includes devotees' moods. So Narada Muni is admiring the demons, their absorption in Krishna, and Prabhupada has cautioned us that we shouldn't admire the absorption of the demons in Krishna. But here in this other purport, he even says that they become a devotee. Exactly who he's referring to. We know that demons like Kamsa didn't become a devotee by thinking about Krishna. Matter of fact, in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says that such thoughts are not anukulyena, anushilanam, they're not favorable. And therefore, Kamsa was not considered a devotee of Krishna. No matter how much he thought about him, and actually he thought about him quite a lot. Matter of fact, he saw Krishna and Balaram everywhere. When his two wives, Prasuti, and I forget her the other name, they one time Kamsa saw both his wives, and they looked to him exactly like Krishna and Balaram, which is quite an absorption. And he took out his sword, and he was going to kill both of them, or try and kill them. And his wife said, wait a second, Kamsa, we're your wives, we're not Krishna and Balaram. Oh, he said, oh, I'm sorry, you look like them. Now, if we could come up to that level, we'd be quite fortunate. But of course, he was unfavorable. He was seeing Krishna everywhere out of fear, thinking that Krishna and maybe Balaram would come and kill him. So that's not favorable. That's not anukulyena. That's unfavorable. So Kamsa was not considered a devotee, although he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, or at least consciousness of Krishna. Now the question is, here it says that the gopis and the demons, they achieve the same liberation. But that's not exactly right. I mean, they both achieve liberation, but they're not the same. As Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion, we'll read from here. There may be some difficulty in understanding, this is chapter 15 from the Nectar Devotion, spontaneous love. There may be some difficulty in understanding that both the gopis and Krishna achieve the same goal. So this point should be clearly understood, because the attitudes of Kansa and Shishupal were different from that of the gopis. So here, Prabhupada is giving Rupa Goswami's verdict, judgment, on what is the relationship between Kansa and the gopis in terms of their being liberated. The mood of Narada Muni, the admiration of the demons, is not exactly included in here. So it may be, it's a different perspective, but it's more or less our general perspective. Although in all cases the focus is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the devotees are elevated to the spiritual world. So there's no contradiction. If you focus your mind upon Krishna out of lust, or out of anger, or envy, or a friendship, you'll be elevated to the spiritual world. There is still a distinction between these two classes of souls. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Absolute Truth is one, and that he is manifest as impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, Supersoul, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here is the spiritual distinction. Although Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are the same, one and the same Absolute Truth, devotees like Kansa or Shishupal could obtain only the Brahman effulgence. They could not have realization of Paramatma or Bhagavan. That is the distinction. An analogy can be given with the sun globe and the sunshine. To remain in the sunshine does not mean that one has gone to the sun globe. The temperature of the sun globe is different from the temperature of the sunshine. One who has gone through the sunshine in jet planes or in spaceships has not necessarily gone to the sun globe. Although the sunshine and the sun globe are actually one and the same, still there is a distinction, for one is the energy and one is the energetic source. The Absolute Truth and his bodily effulgence are in the same way simultaneously one and different. Kansa and Shishupal attained to the Absolute Truth, but they were not allowed to enter into the Goloka Vrindavan abode. Impersonalists and the enemies of the Lord are, because of attraction to God, allowed to enter into his kingdom, but they are not allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets or the Goloka Vrindavan planet of the Supreme Lord. To enter the kingdom and to enter the king's palace are not the same thing. And Prabhupada goes on with his purport about the attainment of the impersonalists. Yanye avarim daksha vimukta maninas tvavasta shura avibhuda shuraya aruya krishena paramparam tada pashantina nadrita yushman angrayaha. So yanye avarim daksha vimukta maninas. So those who are not meditating upon the avarim daksha, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, they may imagine themselves to be vimukti, liberated, maninas, tvarasta bhavara vishuddha buddhaya, but actually their intelligence is covered. Haranmayena patrena, by the effulgence. In other words, they enter into Brahman, but Brahman is Krishna's effulgence, and they're blinded by Brahman, so they can't see Krishna. They see Brahman everywhere, but they don't see behind Brahman is Krishna. And therefore their intelligence is still not completely pure. And as I said before, Kaivalya Narakayate, Tridasha Purakasha Pushpayate, Durdentendriya Kala Sapapartali, Damstrayate, Vidimahis Chatkatayate. Actually, that's not. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Vidimahendridis Trayakatayate Yak Katam Yak Karunaka Katam Vaibhavatam Guru Eva Stumaha. That for the devotee to merge in Brahman is considered to be worse than going to hell. Because at least in hell one can think about Krishna. But in Brahman there's hardly any scope for thinking about Krishna. Because we can't imagine what Brahman is like. Except that we enter into Brahman every night in deep sleep. No one comes out of deep sleep describing the exciting time they had. Maybe after deep sleep there's some dreams, and we think now we become active again. But in deep sleep, we're peaceful. That's where we actually get our rest. Because there we're not doing anything. Literally not doing anything. So that's where we get most of our rest from, is the deep sleep. And the dreams are quite active. Sometimes we get tired. We work hard in our dreams. Sometimes we work harder in our dreams than we do when we're awake. When we're awake, we don't move. And when we're dreaming, we're flying all over the place. Still, deep sleep is our experience of Brahman, but it's not a very exciting experience. You don't write home to your mother about, I had this exciting Brahman experience last night. Therefore, usually no one stays in Brahman for more than a few hundred billion lifetimes of Brahman, which is to us is quite a long time, but for one in Brahman, it's just you get in there and you get out. Back to the material world again, looking for something to do. Actually, everyone is looking for love, and you can't love Brahman. Oh, Brahman, I love you. And even if you love Brahman, Brahman will not embrace you back. It's a one-way love story. Therefore, everyone is actually looking for love, the object of love, and although the material world is just a shadow of that love, still, the shadow for the soul is better than nothing. Actually, the material world is simply remembrance of Krishna. It's a reflection. We find attraction to the material world because it reminds us a little bit about Krishna. Because the material energy is Krishna's energy, has a little of Krishna's attraction. But only when we become conscious of Krishna can we actually find the object of attraction, love, that we're looking for. The gopis finding that, or the other residents of Vrindavan, they stay in the material world, in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. And others who don't find that attraction, who aren't interested in becoming attracted to Krishna, who want to find some substitute for Krishna, something greater than the absolute truth, can go on looking forever, but that's not possible, to find something greater than the absolute truth. And what is the reason? The reason is one is trying to take Krishna's position. So our main problem, the main problem of our existence is imitation. Instead of imitation and then there's following. What are those? Anukaranam, anusaranam. So, following we have to do. Anukaranam. No, anukaranam is following. Anusaranam. So we have to follow something or someone, but we should follow Krishna. But we shouldn't imitate Krishna. Nor should we imitate anyone who we can't imitate, that we're not supposed to imitate. We should follow the instructions of the controllers, not try and imitate them. The whole material world exists because we want to imitate being a controller. Instead of serving the controllers, we want to imitate them. Therefore, we accept a spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from Krishna because the spiritual master or spiritual masters, those we accept as authorities, are supposed to have that mood of being a servant. Now, if I think I become a spiritual master, therefore I'm everyone's master, then I'm not guru. Prabhupada said I'm a guru. Guru means cow. If I think all my followers are worshiping me, and therefore I'm worshipable, I become the master. Then instead of becoming the master, one becomes degraded. So one has to be careful in any relationship. It's not that here we have a fire sacrifice, we throw some grains into the fire, and the grains are supposed to take care of all our sinful reactions. Although we walk out of the fire into the feast and we overeat anyhow. So obviously there's something driving us, you know, we're not exactly completely purified. In any case, in that relationship, we're supposed to take it seriously, so we actually give up our false ego and we accept ourselves as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. If we don't do that, then the initiation is useless. Actually, it's usually an impediment because we become more proud than we were before. Before I was a bhakta, but now I'm a devotee and I'm on my way to become an avatar through the gradual progression. Shaktivesh avatar, of course. I'm not going It's just a matter of time. I made it this far, I'll make it the whole way. So that's not the attitude. The attitude is we're trying to learn how to become a servant, and those who are our master, they should be exemplary servants, not trying to control everyone's life without any relation to Krishna, at least. So that attitude of service is what we're trying to cultivate, and by cultivating that attitude of service, we can make progress in devotional service. So initiation means that we're giving up the false ego, or at least we're trying to give up the false ego, and identify ourselves as the servant of the servant of Krishna, and we're trained how to actually become a proper servant of Krishna's servants appropriately. For each person we meet, Krishna can give us the intelligence how to appropriately serve them to help them make advancement in Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service. Then we can gradually make progress towards achieving Krishna consciousness. Then our intelligence becomes purified and we can give up our impersonalistic attitude. Because the material world, we're not merged in Brahman, we're merged in the transformation of Brahman. Material energy is simply a transformation of Brahman. So it's Brahman seemingly in variety. But actually it's the illusory, by the illusory energy, we also think it different from Krishna. Just as one is in Brahman, the effulgence of Krishna, we think it's the conditioned soul thinks it's different from Krishna. But even in Brahman, if you can understand it's Krishna's energy, then you become liberated. As Gopakumara was merged in Brahman, but still, he was seeing Krishna even in Brahman. Sometimes. Sometimes he was seeing Krishna, and sometimes his intelligence was merged in Brahman. So he didn't like it very much, so he got out of Brahman as quickly as he could. And wound up in Mahashiva Loka, I believe. Yes. So similarly, we're merged, our consciousness, we're seeing things different from Krishna here, but actually nothing is really different from Krishna, nor is Krishna separate from anything. Krishna is intimately related to everything here, and everything is actually going on by Krishna's energies, by Krishna's direction. His energy is under Krishna's direction. How it's going on, we may not be able to perceive, but we should understand that not a blade of grass is moving without Krishna. And therefore, rather than trying to get away from Krishna, because we're already away from Krishna, even in the material world, we're away from Krishna in a way that we're suffering. We're conscious that we're suffering. And if we merge in Brahman, we'll still be away from Krishna, but we simply won't know that we're suffering or why we're suffering. Here we can understand why we're suffering. We're suffering because that's the nature of the material nature, is to suffer. And suffering in the material nature is simply meant to inspire us to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise we're uselessly suffering. And in Brahman, one thinks he's not suffering, but he's actually suffering from separation from Krishna, and therefore eventually he'll fall out of Brahman looking for what he's, the object that he's actually looking for, namely Krishna. Therefore, better to follow the footsteps of the gopis and not imitate someone like, not imitate Krishna, or follow in the footsteps of Kamsa and imitate those who are imitating Krishna, trying to become the controllers of the material universe, controllers of a little part of the material universe. So, very simple, we should try to see how we're trying to imitate Krishna, and generally speaking, Tarko apratishta shudhya vibhina nasavari shiryasyanabhinam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahadano yena katha sapanta. So our problem is that we're following, our nature is to follow. We're not even conscious of who we're following. We don't realize that whatever I'm doing, it's just imitation of someone or following someone. Now if we're following someone who's imitating, then we'll get into trouble. And if we follow someone who actually knows properly how to follow and is simply a servant, then we'll actually make progress. So we have to discriminate. When we see ourselves acting in ways that we shouldn't, we should know that we're simply imitating or following someone who's imitating. And therefore, we should stop following them and we should stop imitating. We should know rightly who we are. We're 1/10,000th the size of Tip here in size. And we have to take shelter of someone who's actually taking shelter of someone who's actually following Krishna's instructions. And then we'll be able to utilize this body, we'll desire to utilize our body, mind, and words in Krishna's service under the direction of a bona fide representative of Krishna. And that tendency to imitate will diminish and will become aware of Krishna. Krishna will be able to gradually reveal himself to us, because if we want to imitate Krishna, then Krishna is not going to reveal himself to us, because that will spoil our imitation. Unless you're Pundraka. Pundraka tried hard to imitate Krishna. By the mercy of Narada Muni, actually, he got a couple extra arms, and he dressed himself with a kastuba jewel, and he had a Vajrayanti garland on, and he had his shark-shaped earrings, and he even had a flag flying Garuda. He was imitating, even in the presence of Krishna. And because he was imitating in the presence of Krishna, he got his head cut off, along with his friend Kasiraj. And because of that, I believe he obtained Svarupya, rather than just Sayuja. But we're not so powerful. We only have two arms. And no one's going to give us a Vajrayanti garland with the sukha of a kastuba jewel. Of course, that was an imitation kastuba jewel. We don't even know what it looks like, so how can we imitate it? In any case, rather than following the example of Pundraka or Kamsa or others, we should follow the example of those humble devotees who are trying to engage in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and give Krishna consciousness to themselves and to others, and trying to become a servant to Krishna's servants, taking shelter of those who are actually aware of the fact that they're eternally Krishna's servants, and we should follow their instructions in order to gradually become eternal servants of Krishna also. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
That question I can answer quickly.
you want it quick or long?
No, when you said Hare Krishna, I know the answer. It's a good question, but if you have another one.
It's not uncommon for us to feel a desire for liberation. Sometimes as devotees, you may be either tired or suffer or struggle with something, and we may feel a hankering to be free from that. So when we have this hankering for some relief as devotees, how should we deal with this? Should we Should we refocus? Should we struggle against this desire for liberation and relief? Should we dovetail it with our hankering for Krishna? What's a proper response to that desire for a relief in our heart?
Well, if you're tired, you can become liberated from tiring. Being tired, take some rest. If, as it says in the Bhagavatam, if you're dizzy, you want to become liberation from the dizziness, then stand up. So, Bhagavatam offers us different ways of becoming liberated. The only liberation that we don't accept is Sayuja Mukti, because that liberation will be wasting our time. We won't be able to achieve Krishna very easily from Sayuja, although sometimes it says it's possible. Bhavanam Janmanamante Gyanamamam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Saramahatma Sudurlabha. So sometimes Jnanis achieve Krishna after many, many bursts of such endeavor to get liberation. They ultimately understand Krishna is really the object of liberation. But we don't. It's normal if you're suffering. We generally don't try to figure, unless you're a tapasvi or crazy, you don't try to suffer anymore. We want to get liberated from that suffering. It's normal. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, in 13... 8 to 13, under the different aspects of knowledge, Prabhupada writes that one should not put himself in a situation where there is pain or suffering. Actually, it's the other verse. When the qualities are explained, which is the 8th chapter. So, Prabhupada said, those things which cause pain are not favorable for devotional service. It's a distraction. But of course, if we're in pain, then we take shelter of Krishna to get out of pain. We concentrate. Pain may become a source of inspiration to concentrate the mind upon Krishna, but we don't look around for pain. We try to avoid it. We don't just blindly walk across the street because we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and even if the car hits us, we don't really care. We're not oblivious. No, we have to be cautious with Krishna's property, and we have to be cautious to put ourselves in a situation where we can most best think about Krishna, best perform devotional service. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.